So for those of you listening to the recording who are not able to attend the live class, I'm just letting you know that we already did grounding and checking in before I remembered to hit the record button. And we started late, so so there's that. So please hit pause and get yourself grounded and centered in the way that we usually do, so you can be fully present and attentive to the rest of the class. So a couple things I wanted to start with this week. Francesca de Grandis, who was one of the teachers in my lineage, said, "The witch deals in power." This is what we're here for, okay? The witch deals in power. And then Suri Chimnoy said, "When the power of love replaces the love of power, man will have a new name, God." When the power of love replaces the love of power, man will have a new name, God. And then Victor Anderson said, "If you're confused about power, remember love." And one more, Babatunde Olatunje, who was a world-class drummer out of Nigeria, says, "Love is the greatest power in the universe." So I want you to be thinking about these quotes as you move through the week, to walk with them and listen deeply and ask your God soul, your God self, your highest self to reveal their truths to you and be open to the wisdom that shines through. So we start every class with breath. And I just want to talk about breath and life and death. I'm going to talk for a moment about the power of life and death. I'm going to ask you to take a broader, more liberal of the view of the terms when we say, when we say that a witch who cannot hex cannot heal. Every breath we take engenders both life and death. Every meal requires something die in order that I might live. When I take antibiotics, I do so knowing that I am killing bacteria in a life and death war, right? If the bacteria win, I die. If they die, I get to live, right? I don't think I've ever asked if you were when we ask ourselves, am I willing to kill? Where do your thoughts go? What would you fight for? What would you die for? Take the human, the talker, from the forefront of your mind for a minute and answer that question. Part of the power of the witch is the willingness to claim the power of death. Okay? I'm not asking or saying that we have to kill people. Okay, I'm not talking about murder. I'm talking about taking responsibility for the reality that we kill 10,000 times a day, right? With every breath, with every meal, with every sip of water, as we step on grass, as we step on bugs, as, you know, choices that we make, right? We pray to know, honor, love, and take responsibility for all of our parts. So we're not outside the laws of nature. As such, we give life and death. So someone wants just a little bit of, you know, light stuff to think about. One time when I was teaching this class, in response to the wizard work that we were just talking about, said that they were resistant to the wizard because he seemed crazy, right? He seemed power crazed, right? Or just crazy. And power can seem crazy, right? I remember going to a concert and watching a really talented conductor work a chorus. And he looked crazed. His head was all bald and red and dripping sweat, and he was like crouching and springing and pointing and demanding and commanding those voices with his will and his body. And he looked like he was having a seizure, right? And some might have said, oh, he's acting. But what I saw was a man that was possessed by passion. Passion that ran clear and clean into pride and was expressed in the power of his conducting, but also his performance, right? So one of the lessons that power teaches us is hopefully a refusal to tone it down, right, or to become small in order to accommodate the comfort or projections or preconceptions of others. So, Ramana, you said, you know, you said something at a ritual planning meeting, sort of, and it ruffled some feathers and riled some people up. And, you know, the question is, well, do I tone it down, right? Do I become small? Do I never say anything, right, or do anything or take any action just so that everyone around me is comfortable, right? And it's true that, you know, projecting power, like in an office setting, in a professional setting, may not be helpful, right? I really want to sort of highlight that I'm aware of the privilege that I have, that I have been able to and required to, on some level, create a life where, for the most part, I can take up as much space as I take up, right? I am this big. I am this much. I am this powerful, right? So to diminish myself, passion, pride, power, and sex, means to diminish everything, right? My work in the world, my parenthood, my relationships with others. So, you know, sometimes when I put myself in scenarios where I'm new, right? Like Dawn will remember this because I talked about it when it happened. I think we were doing self work then. I signed up for a pottery class, and I've never done pottery in my life. I've always wanted to do it. And I found myself in a situation where I was in a room full of women on a Thursday evening, and everyone was being very quiet and very much contained. And, you know, I'm not really well socialized any longer. I'm a bit feral, right? And I made some blunders and some mistakes in that class that were, you know, kind of embarrassing. I left the class and I walked home and I was muttering to myself, like, what is wrong with you? You can't even be around people, you know? And why do you have to be so big? And why do you have to take up so much space, you know? And by the time I went back to the next class, I had managed to balance my desire to be as big as I am, as much as I am, as powerful as I am, but also have to slide into a group mind where I'm not the teacher, I'm not in charge, I'm an absolute beginner, I need to be instructed. Other people in the class are further along than I was, and I had to be able to figure out how do I maintain my integrity and my selfhood in this environment where, you know, it's a rare occasion that I'm in a class where I'm not in charge, right? So figuring out, you know, that balance, because I had spent the previous 2 years sort of very, very much isolated. I had moved away from my home and everybody and everything I knew to an area where I didn't know anyone, didn't know where I was. But during that time of being isolated, instead of, you know, when we hear isolate, we think smaller, right? But what happened was I became bigger because I had no social contracts with anyone. So coming back to the area and being like, oh, and so you're a big, giant, maniacal, wizard, witch person, and yet you still need to be able to take a pottery class if you want, if you want to. So this process that we're in of like naming power and claiming power stretches us, right? And then we have to figure out how this larger, bigger, more self operates in the world, right? And sometimes that means how do I learning how to be accommodating to others while maintaining your own integrity, your own sense of self and power. This is tricky stuff, right? It means walking a nice edge, right, between who I really am, how I really behave in and what I really feel, while simultaneously understanding there are other folks in the room. We don't want to make people feel bad. We don't want to take over, right? But we also don't want to shrink. So another way for me to stretch my power muscle is to do more spell work than is usual for me, right? So if you don't regularly do spell work, I suggest that you start doing some, right, sort of on a regular basis. As just like if you don't work out and you start, right, you have to start small, but you have to be consistent in order to build your strength. And so doing spell work on a regular basis, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for others, really helps to build your muscle, right, your power muscle. So winding back toward the wizard, right, fully engaged in generating and conducting life force. He looks crazy because he's not diminishing himself. He's not self-conscious in that moment, right? He's fully engaged, not concerned how he is perceived. And we can't be, not when it counts, not when it comes to magic, not when it comes to bringing forth our own magnificence, not when the universe is waiting for us to deliver the gifts that only we are fit to carry into the world. If we're worried how we'll be perceived, if we concern ourselves with how power changes our appearance, we might as well give up, right? So compare it to sex. Look at the faces of human beings at the point of climax. We look crazed, tortured, terrified, violent, beatific, and wild. There's actually a website where that's the whole website is images of people's faces in the moment of orgasm. I can't remember it. I'll have to find it and post it for you. But that is a moment of power, right? When we have let go, we can't, if we're truly experiencing the ecstatic, then we are not concerned about how we appear, right? So the wizard is in touch with his wildness, his fetch. The fetch not only stores but generates life force. So what can we do to move past our fear of looking silly or crazy or wild or uncivilized, right? The witch is not civilized. The witch has a lot of wild in her. Hold on a second. Responses, questions, comments?
You know, this is Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something right after, I think it was while Romana was checking in, it occurred to me that one of the reasons I feel daunted is that I feel like others have more knowledge or ability or authority than I do. And this conversation is helping that. This being unconcerned, because I do have power, and that feels like a concern for what power other people have. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, it does. You're doing a comparison.
Yeah.
So whenever we compare, we either, you know, by its nature, comparison says I'm better than or less than.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when we're comparing our power to other people's power, we got to come up with that with an answer. Is my power better than or less than theirs? And the other thing I would just point out is that you said other people have more authority or knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, knowledge is a particular kind of power, right? But I would encourage you to do a word web weaving on power and authority.
Yeah.
Because authority is power over. Right?
Yeah.
Authority is, I have to give this person my respect because they have authority over me.
Yeah. Juicy stuff coming up here.
Yeah. And so what we're after here is our power from within, right? Just like when we talked about sex, self, passion, and pride, right? There's a tendency to say, okay, I'm passionate about, right, rather than I'm passionate, period, right?
Yeah.
I'm proud of rather than I'm proud, period, right? I am powerful when, you know, because, right,
mm-hmm.
Because of my knowledge, my authority, my titles, my, you know, all of those outside things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the goal here is I'm powerful, period. I'm power. I am power. Okay?
Yeah.
What I just said that may have slipped by your notice is fetch not only can contain power, right? Ask your fetch to store the mana, right? That's in the Ha prayer. But fetch generates mana. Mana is power. Another word, mana, life force, ashe, chi, these are different words for power, right? Fetch generates power, right?
Yeah.
So intrinsically, just as we are passion, just as we are pride, we are power, right? It's not so much something that we have to gain as something that we have to recognize. Okay? It's not out there to gather, right? It's within us. It's a matter of how do I hold that? How do I express that? What does that feel like, right? So the wizard and the witch exercises were to give us two sort of embodied sensations of what power can feel like, right? But power can feel, you know, very, very much like an extension of pride, right? When you complete the thing, right, and you're like, I'm proud, there's a sense of power. I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I had it in me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Good, good. Ramana, you got anything?
No, just I did appreciate, you know, what Dawn just said that sort of crystallized something for me of just, yeah, of whenever I'm feeling, when I'm not feeling in my power, it's usually because I'm engaging in some kind of comparison when it's really its own entity, irrespective of whatever, whoever else is there, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it was, so thank you, Dawn. That really, that helped me.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. So in the quotes that I said at the beginning, there's a couple links between power and love, right? And this is where we're going. How after really engaging sex, self, passion, pride, and power, we find ourselves at sex again, right? But this time with a new and fresh understanding. And that understanding is love, right? If we've been working Iron Pentacle long enough, consistently enough, with enough sincerity, we might find that sex and love blur, or that the sex point actually becomes love, right? And love is in the same space as the sex point, right? So the sex point on Iron Pentacle is the love point on the Pearl Pentacle, right? So if you're confused about power, remember love, right? If we are moving around the pentacles, okay, sex, self, passion, pride, power, the next iteration would be love, knowledge, wisdom, law, and power, right? In my tradition, we use power on both pentacles. And the resulting manifestation of both pentacles is liberty. So if we're confused about power, remember love, right? It's easy to give up power in the name of love, right? Raise your hand if you've done that. raising both hands,
yes.
Jumping up and down over here. so it's easy to confuse and conflate the two. It would be easy. Victor isn't saying that they are the same thing, not at all. He's pointing the way from power on the Iron Pentacle to love on the Pearl, okay? And he's pointing the way from power on the Pearl to love on the Pearl. The power of iron and the power of pearl are worlds apart, and yet they are twins who embrace and kiss. This is a kind of a deep mystery, but I'm going to hand it out to you anyway. So power to, power from, power over, power with, power within, in all of these emphasis In all of these instances, the emphasis of talker is to pay attention to what is being done with, to, and as a result of power. But let's stay with being power itself. Power of the threefold spirit, the genius, the wild, and divine in us, working in tandem to be fully human, fully wild, and fully divine, takes power. Right? And so we ask again, who is the flower above me? What are the powers of this God? I take responsibility for myself in all my parts. Okay? It's a huge prayer. All of these sort of renditions that we've done throughout the five segments have been huge transformational prayers. So as we move through this week, I want you to ask yourself, what power are you resisting, right? When we pray, what are the powers of this God? What power are you resisting? What powers are you resisting? And which responsibilities make you nervous, right? I take responsibility for myself in all my parts, right? So what makes you nervous about that line? It should make you nervous. It makes me nervous to say it. So there's, you know, the esoteric power, right? And sort of our spiritual responsibilities. But what about our responsibilities in our families? What about our responsibilities in our communities? What about our responsibilities when it comes to how we participate in patriarchy, white supremacy, capitalism, right? Do we take responsibility for ourselves in those arenas, right? And where do we resist the power that we have in those arenas? So this week, in resacralizing the world, I'd like us to pay closer attention to human manifestations of power, like the conductor at that recital, like the artists using breath to create glass or music or song or poetry. Really look for the ways in which humans engage their passion fully, which then naturally pulses through them as power. Don't just notice, though. Give the recognition. That can be done with applause, a standing ovation, a statement, "That was so powerful," or "You are so powerful," right? You can recognize it with your dollars, by supporting an artist. Anything produced with true passion is art. But I'd rather if that you use your words to acknowledge the power of your fellow humans, right? So if you're noticing power, right, recognize it, give the compliment. And what this is also doing is like putting you in a position where you are required to notice expression of other people's naturally occurring power. Right? What that does is it gives you a mirror to look into, right? That person who is naturally unselfconsciously expressing power is giving you a mirror to look in. What does power look like in me when I am in my sex, self, passion, and pride? Excuse me. So last week I asked you to get several candles, but this week we're only going to use one of them, okay? I got ahead of myself in my notes when I was looking at them last week, so I apologize for that. It's called the Red Candle Spell, and it's traditional from Gabriel Caradoc of the Blood Rose lineage and fairy tradition, but I've adapted it for my work with Blackheart and for these workshops. So you'll need your red candle. You should do this once this week. There are only 2 more weeks of class left. This is why I asked you to get 3 tapers. Okay. So do this once each week until the class is over, using one of the 3 tapers I asked you to get. So align your souls, make kala on whatever might be obstructing you from engaging fully in the work. Breathe life force throughout the spell so that you are not drained of energy by the end of the spell, right? This is part of what happens. I'm just going to go off on a little side tangent here. Romano, when you said, I was exhausted and had to take a nap for 3 hours after I was the wizard, right? So here's a really, really important hint, and that is, before you exert power, gather power, contain the power, so that you aren't pulling it from your own cells and exhausting yourself, okay? So pull life force on board like you do for a ha prayer. Pull tons and tons and tons of it in so that you have an excess to exert. Otherwise, you're exerting yourself, you're exerting your own physical being, right? Your own cells, your nerve endings, your blood, all of it, you get exhausted. So that's just a witchy, here's a way not to be exhausted when you do big magic. So pull lots of life force on board throughout the spell. So before the spell, align in kala, start breathing life force again, just like you do for a ha prayer. But a lot of it, we don't have to skimp on life force. Everything in the universe is producing more all the time. Okay, there's not a scarcity. So if we don't continuously breathe life force during this kind of work, the life force will be drawn from our own resources and stores and will be achy, headachy, grumpy, argumentative, exhausted, too wound up, dehydrated, and open to illness. So take good care of yourself. Make sure that you breathe mana throughout. So in this, you're going to stand in a star position and hold an unlit candle in your right hand. You're going to see the iron pentacle drawn in you in red fire. At the place where the flame meets the fuel, and the fuel is you, your life force, right? See the flame burn blue, just as fire burns blue at its base, right, way down by the fuel source, and white or red at its center and tips. So we're going to invoke, say it aloud with power like you mean it, by the power of fire, I invoke pride. By the power of ether, I invoke sex. By the power of air, I invoke self. By the power of earth, I invoke power. And by the power of water, I invoke passion. And there are some instructions in the written materials that you'll get what to see at each of these points. Okay, so repeat the invocations at each point until you feel that you are fully charged and that the points are activated by the element and the flame. Run red fire with a blue base through all the points of the pentacle until the star is pulsing in you, throbbing and blurring till you're pulsing with fire. Then there's what's called the EO prayer that'll give you the words for. That ends in a ha prayer, blowing mana to your god soul. Take that rain of blessings, the excess mana, the rain of blessings from your god soul, you know, that you send the mana up and then you sort of feel a shiver, you feel that connection, and the excess mana in your body, okay, because you should be really charged both from pre filling yourself with mana and working, breathing mana in throughout, right? So you still should have some excess mana in your body. Charge the red candle in your left hand with it. Pour the power from the ritual into the candle using your will, your vision, your breath, your word, saying, my power burns bright. I am power. Mine is the power, the honor, and the glory. Power, I will be your intelligence. And then you can riff on that as you like. Be sure to say these particular words, though. As this candle burns, so may the iron pentacle burn bright in me. And then light the candle and let it burn all the way out. So earlier I said, do more spell work. This is a spell. Okay? So at least for the next 3 weeks, you have a spell assigned. You are doing a spell. You're doing magic on yourself, right? Victor said there is very little that can't be done in the world by working on ourselves. So if a healthy witch makes all things sound, right, if what we do permeates the ethers around us and ripples out beyond how we can perceive or count it, when we do this kind of spell work on ourselves and become more powerful, we are also simultaneously working a spell on the world. I know that sounds grandiose and full of hubris, but that's what I believe. And just remember, you know, go back to Marianne Williamson's, you know, when you give yourself permission to be yourself, you give everybody else permission to do the same, right? Just by your example, just by your being. Right. That's everything I have for you tonight. Questions or any comments on everything, what I just said, or from before, or from last week? You guys are unmuted, so.
So all those quotes that you read will be in the notes from the class?
Of course. Yep, yep.
Yay. I want to sit and read them.
Yeah.
And that quote about being afraid that we're actually more powerful than we imagine describes what I'm experiencing very well. And so, yeah.
So the hesitancy is, I hear that, right? What if I am that big? What if I am that much? But think about and look for people, right? Watch, you know, do me a favor. Go, I think we talked about this the first week of this class. Oprah Winfrey's speech, right? Go and watch Marianne Williamson, online give a speech. You don't have to buy into everything she says because some of it's kind of fucked up. But watch Obama give a speech, right? Now, so these are famous people who are, you know, trained to be speakers, right? But look at other kinds of performance, right? Where, yes, it's a combination of talent, but it's also power. And it's also saying, I'm going to take up this space. I own this space, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring all of my sex, self, passion, pride, and power to this thing that I'm doing, right? And it doesn't have to be like those kinds of extroverted manifestations of power either. Again, go online, find some video of people making pottery, people making blowing glass, people making things, right, with their hands out of like raw material, right? They're not putting on a performance. They're not saying anything, but you can feel that power, right? One of the things about being a witch is so much of what we do, it doesn't necessarily have a tangible result, right? Mm-hmm. When I'm done teaching this class, I don't have a vase. I don't have a bowl I can put my fruit in. I don't have an album, right? I don't have an audience of cheering people, right? But you know what I'm saying is that as witches, you know, unless we're doing public performative ritual, right? And public ritual is performative. You know, it is not the same as what you're going to do with that red candle, right? And it's hard to measure, right? It's hard to account, right? Like, what is this for, right? And that's why I love that Marianne Williamson quote so much, because it expresses what this is for, right? What it's for, in my understanding anyway, this is maybe just my path, right? When I do it, I give other people permission. And that means they can do it, right? They go, well, look at her. She's a single mom and 53 years old and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Who is she, you know? Well, if you're around me, then you have permission to be as big as you can be too, right? It's not quantifiable the way that a beautiful piece of blown glass is or a beautiful piece of music. But do watch those people who are producing something, because I think that there's, again, it's a mirror, right? And something about watching people who are in their power, it gives us a model, right? Like, oh, I know what that feeling is. You know, oh, that's how it is when I do X, whatever that is. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ramana?
No, I'm good.
Good, good. All right. Well, have fun with your red candles. chances are... No, I'm just going to say it. Your notes and assignments will not be up till tomorrow.
Okay.
So usually before this particular segment, they go up sometime on Thursday, usually in the afternoon, sometime before 24 hours goes by. So that's on my agenda for tomorrow. But for tonight, I'm like, I feel like I just pulled this class right out of my butt, even though I have notes in front of me, because I did not do the things. I did not put the life force on board before. And so it came right out of my cells. So I'm going to take the rest of the night off and get this stuff out to you guys tomorrow, okay?
Yeah,
sounds good.
Excellent, excellent. And just so you know, there are other folks who are following along. I have people in my Blackheart Fairy training who were taking this course with us. And they've all disappeared from the actual live class because now they're back in class. They're back in training with me, so they're catching up to this when they're able because they have a lot of work to do in that training. So good, good. We'll talk to you next Wednesday, and maybe I'll set my alarm right now to remind me because I don't even know what happened tonight except fighting with racists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, ladies, have a good night.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.